You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
The Nazis appreciated the power of film as a propaganda tool and often used it quite effectively, most notably with Triumph of the Will by Leni Riefenstahl, who's considered one of the greatest and most notorious filmmakers of all time. But that was just one of many such projects. For 30 days in May 1942, German cameramen shot footage of life within the Warsaw Ghetto, although, as the title of a new documentary suggests, the film was never completed. A film unfinished won the World Cinema Documentary Editing Award at this year's Sundance Film Festival, and in a rave review in today's New York Times, Jeanette Katsoulis praises it for being remarkable as much for its speculative restraint as for its philosophical reach. It opens today for a two-week theatrical run at the Film Forum, and I'm very pleased that it brings its director, Yael Hrsansky, to our show. Welcome.
Thank you.
What's the history of this footage? When was it first discovered?
The footage was discovered in 1954 in East Germany, close to Berlin, in a film vault that was probably the Nazi propaganda ministry's property, and it was controlled by the Soviets for 10 years. In 1954, when the Soviets left to Moscow and the East Germans started to research the collection that was left, they found this footage.
Well, didn't the Soviet Army take most of the Nazi propaganda footage with them when they went back home?
Well, it's something that even the East German archivists didn't know. Only after the collapse of communism, the Russians told them that they took all the Nazi propaganda films they could find. But not only that they've taken it, but didn't let the East Germans see the catalogs, so they couldn't research, even if they had the feeling that they're being shown the catalogs of films in the Soviet film archives, they couldn't know what they have till this very day.
But they left this one behind. It was 60-minute silent film, and the title given was Das Ghetto?
Right. Actually,
had it been edited?
It has been edited. The speculation is that we're seeing here a rough cut, an early draft of editing. We assume that it was not completed because it doesn't have opening titles, the ending, the closing titles, and a soundtrack was recorded. We can see a microphone descending into one of the frames, and it was either lost or destroyed.
The East Germans made this 60-minute film available to scholars and historians, didn't they? And wasn't it used in other documentaries as a depiction of what life was like in the Warsaw Ghetto?
This is the remarkable thing about this footage, that it was used so many times by documentary filmmakers as well as by memorial Holocaust museums. And in fact, when I saw the footage, the 62 minutes for the first time, I could recognize some of the images. I've seen them in films, and there is one scene that exemplified me how we are accessible to watch the films, but not to in fact see what there is inside the image. There is one scene in which a group of women descend into the ritual bath, and I saw it in a Polish museum under the title Jewish Ritual Life Inside the Ghetto. Now, when you see it as if it's an objective documentation of an authentic event, you don't care to see the emotional content that a scene like that actually holds.
And women look terrified
to you now in the context of this film. But I could realize that only when I saw the 62 minutes and could gradually understand the way these images were produced.
What happened was more footage showed up later and there were outtakes. And so we understood later that a lot of these things have been set up. In this case, those women have been forced into the ritual bath to take up the clothes and go into the ritual bath by men with guns. So what we thought were all documentary film would, in many cases, was just propaganda filmmaking.
The fact that it was a propaganda film was known from the very beginning. We didn't know to what extent were the scenes actually staged. Even scenes that, when I saw it for the first time, regarded as authentic or documentary scenes, were in fact staged. When we see people who are dying on the sidewalks, they are in fact dying, of course. But we only sensitive viewers will see that people who are allegedly well off, dressed with suits and dresses, passing by the corpses and not looking at them. Now, these people were asked not to look at the corpses, to that they would seem as if indifferent to the suffering of their own people.
So that was the point that the Nazis were making, that that there was suffering in the ghetto, but there was, the rich people were callous. But since the conditions that are depicted are so horrifying, didn't the Nazis consider that they would be held responsible for creating these conditions?
I think that during the time this film was made, the Nazis still imagined themselves winning this war. And there is one hint that is given to us by the Nazi Minister of Propaganda, Joseph Goebbels, who wrote in his diary 4 days before the filming began, that now when they have decided to move the Jews to the east, meaning he meant to start the process of extermination, it is urgent for them, for the Nazis, to make films as many as possible for the education of the future generations of the Third Reich, meaning that maybe they didn't plan to show it in theaters, but to use it as educational film in the future, when the Jews will be already part of the past.
My guest is Yael Hersansky, whose film, A Film Unfinished, opened today at the Film Forum, and I forgot to mention also at the Lincoln Plaza Cinema, got a rave review in today's Times. How did you originally planned to do a different kind of a film about the Warsaw Ghetto. How did you wind up making this movie?
I came from an approach of seeing images in a different way, of releasing their layered content, which is not only historical but also emotional. And maybe the emotional is a part of the historical content. And the fact that we're seeing a propaganda film goes without saying. But beneath the superficial layers exist reality. And I wanted to try and examine how I can resurrect this reality again.
Well, how much of the original, the 62-minute propaganda film have you included in your film?
Nearly all of it.
Plus some of the outtakes that were found in
1998. The outtakes, there were outtakes in which we can see the film crew itself and the number of takes that they were taking even during the most horrifying moments of just inserting a corpse into a coffin. They were taking more than several takes. But there is also 9.5 minutes of color footage, which was captured by one of the cameramen. I guess that he was filming while he had free time with his own private camera. And that's another kind of documentation.
You've also included the responses of 5 survivors of the Warsaw Ghetto to watching this footage. When you approached survivors, was everybody willing to participate?
No. In fact, when I began, I didn't imagine even to find more than one that could actually recall such a neglected event, let's say, during the most horrifying days of the ghetto. But I found more than those 5 who are interviewed in the film. The ones who were hesitating whether they should watch the footage at all, I asked them not to come because I felt I cannot take the responsibility of whatever might happen to them during the screening. It's an extremely emotional experience for them. I also isolated them inside a dark cinema hall, screening the 35 millimeter copy on the big screen. So I explained them very well before the day of shooting what is about to happen. Only those who felt that it's completely urgent for them to see these images and to have their final word over this silent document came and thanked me after it was done.
Did they remember the Germans filming this?
Not only they remembered the Germans filming this, they remembered themselves hiding from the film crew, meaning that when we're seeing a scene, we actually can feel their own presence outside the frame somewhere 2 or 3 meters from there.
You also have some taped testimony by a man named Willy Wist. He was the only cameraman we know who participated in this?
Yes, we are. We know that there were several cameramen. There is only Willy Wist, whose name is known, but the name was known from the 60s already. What I did, we discovered protocols of a preliminary interrogation with the cameraman, and I was amazed to realize that I have suddenly the point of view of the cameraman about scenes we can actually watch in the film.
What did they think they were filming? What did they think their job was there?
Well, naturally, he was rather evasive during the interrogation and said that he understood it was a propaganda film, but didn't quite understand exactly what he was doing when filming the rich and then the poor. I take the freedom to speculate that he knew more, but
it's pretty clear what's going on here.
I mean, people were dying around him. And there is another piece of information that maybe hints regarding his own personal feelings about this cinematography, that after the war, soon after the war, he changed his profession from cameraman, he became a merchant, went to the East German Film Archives, found his own personal cameraman kit and the copies of films that he shot that were inside. He took it home. He took it with him to his backyard and burned it.
You include portions of personal diaries written at the time, as well as reports from the Warsaw Ghetto Commissioner, Heinz Arswald. And they fill in all the details, don't they?
Arswald was younger than I am. He was a young lawyer that someone put as a commissar of the Warsaw Ghetto. He was writing, improvising weekly reports, hundreds of them, but only few survived. And we were very fortunate that inside these few reports, he also mentions the filmmaking. And he described a scene in which the film crew arrives to the Jewish prison, and the prisoners think they see uniformed Nazi soldiers. That's how the film crew looked like. And they think they are going to be executed. So there's a big panic, and they try to explain them, we're not going to execute you now, we're just going to film you. And then it was the panic was it all calmed down. But the border, the very thin line between the horror and the filmmaking is something that is extremely evident in this footage.
The Motion Picture Association of America gave your film an R rating, and you tried to have that changed. What reason do they give you for not changing it? After all, they did change the rating on a Steven Spielberg film that had a bit of nudity in it.
Their phrasing was nudity and images of Holocaust atrocities. But the film that was Steven Spielberg produced was, in fact, showing in its full length the only documentation on film that survived from the Holocaust of a mass execution. This kind of footage, I I could hardly watch. Mm-hmm. And it was rated PG-13. So if there's a principle here, I don't quite follow it.
Do you think there's more footage that's yet to be discovered?
I believe so. I don't know if it's the quantity. I don't think there will be a lot of footage that will be discovered. We have to remember that the whole imagery from the Holocaust that was documented by the Nazis, it's only 10% from what they're actually documented. 90% were destroyed during the last days of war. So many images were just destroyed. But there's always, I think that there's always a drawer that was not yet opened.
What about the stuff that the Soviet army took with it? Is that available in Russia?
That's the greatest mystery. We just don't know.
Now, the Times Review complimented you for putting all of this together, because this is a lot of complicated material, but it's kind of a miracle of editing. You are an editor. So when you were putting it together, were you thinking about how you were going to keep this story comprehensible?
I had 2 years of research, and during that time I had plenty of months to write a script. I knew that I'm going to divide this film into its four reels and to produce the visual breaks that will enable me the time to tell the story of the filmmaking itself. Then I worked with one of the best editors in Israel, and we felt like two editors sitting in the same room, and it was an overwhelming experience for me to edit this film, because the way I perceive filmmaking is through this aspect of editing.
Well, this is really a film about whether you can believe what you see, and it's very powerful. And I want to thank you so much for being with us, Yael Hrasinski, whose film A Film Unfinished is opening today at Film Forum and also at the Lincoln Plaza Cinema.
Thank you very much.